The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, Collect, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Cheval Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the eve of the majority rule day in the Bahamas, which will be tomorrow, January 10th. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 242-300. Sorry, you can call us from the family islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720 from the family islands. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, Channel 9. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Yeah, honestly, people, like, there's so much to talk about. There's so much we could talk about. And it isn't going to be possible to do everything today. There's so many issues out there. It even ain't funny. Farmer Kim in Grand Bahama has announced its closure. For those of you who may not know, Farmer Kim is a chemical plant that took over the facilities once operated for almost 50 years by Syntex Pharmaceuticals. It hires about 100 people. It made a drug, I think, that was an impotent to an AIDS medication or something like that. So it's a blow for Grand Bahama, for a stable, steady, good-paying job. That's a blow for Grand Bahama. So much of that. Then we got from the commissioner of police about the young lady, 16-year-old, who was shot to death while her mother was harboring a fugitive. We got, I think, an announcement by the commissioner of a very young man on bail for multiple murders. And, the New York Times has an investigative journalist who is writing about comments made by Fred Mitchell, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, regarding FOIA. Mr. Mitchell saying that they don't support FOIA, but the Prime Minister said they're committed to passing the Freedom of Information Act. And then a press release from the Prime Minister's office said Mr. Mitchell said they support FOIA. And people have been texting me and talking to me about this stuff and saying, listen, man, what's going on? There's so much. There's the rates and what's been happening with that. There's the increasing numbers of tourists still coming in, really outpacing the numbers anticipated, we are told, for November. So that's good news, right? A lot going on. But, today is the eve of Majority Rule Day. I imagine for some generations of Bahamians, this could be a very distant something. Like, okay, I hear you. We're celebrating Majority Rule Day, but what? So what? For what? What is that? Right? Now, I'm 56 years old. I was born in 1967. So I was born before we achieved signally our independence. And I did not live in any conscious way. I did not live under the pre-majority rule Bahamas, not in any conscious way. My eldest brother and sister, who would have been in their 60s, would have been really young people, like not even, they're like under 10 or something like that, to have lived under majority rule. When majority rule came into play, I was not born. So I don't know anything about what the pre-majority rule Bahamas was like in terms of experience, right? Because I was born in September of 1967. This happened in January of 1967. But I my mother and father and people of that age lived in that era. My grandmother and those lived in that era. So they would have had firsthand information, and they talked to us about it. And you always heard the same set of things come up. You know, we couldn't go to this theater. We couldn't go in this restaurant or that place. We could only work in these places, and so forth and so forth. So we only had secondhand, sometimes thirdhand information in relation to majority rule, prior to majority rule. And then leading up to majority rule, and then the achievement of majority rule. So imagine if that's me at 56 years old, what a 40-year-old, a 30-year-old might know, feel about this period of time in the Bahamas, where racial designation, you were white, there was a certain set of privileges that you were afforded and accorded. No doubt the handover from the colonial history of the Bahamas, being dominated as we were, colonized as we were by the British, dominated as they were by Anglo-Saxon Caucasian people, and therefore bringing with them whatever set of prejudices and they had in respect of whose skin color made them better off than anybody else's skin color. If you were white, you had a certain privilege in the society. If you were black, you had a certain station and place, and this was your station and place. And therefore, the things that could happen for a white person to advance their personal development, to advance their social development, to advance their social mobility, could not happen for the vast majority of black people. The political power in the country was held by the white minority class in the country. They were the people whom the British looked to for the governance of the Bahamas, and they governed the Bahamas not merely for the political power of it, they governed the Bahamas in tandem with the economic privileges and domination that allowed them for generations to amass significant wealth. This is the reality of it. I'm not coming down on nobody and so forth. This is the reality of the Bahamas pre-majority rule. That's the Bahamas, free it, in many ways. So, you know, I have to tell you all, I have been watching many, many, many movies about about Jim Crow, about slavery, about racism. Not just now. I'm talking about over the last couple of years, and it was startling to me. I have to tell you all, it was startling to me how ignorant white enslavers, white racists were. I just could not believe that people could be so ignorant and so hateful because someone's skin was different than theirs. I'm telling you all, and these were movies based on true stories. That's how they were casted. Right? The most recent one I watched is called Texas Red. It's a Prime Video movie. I just could not wrap my head around. Are you really that ignorant? Are you really that shallow in your intellectual capacity that this man who is black, who has a
secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady who run into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You can save for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Before I was so rudely technologically interrupted, I was talking about these documentaries, these movies that I was watching based on real life, and I'm watching the degree of humiliation, of injury, the degree of harm, of murders and rapes and that kind of just sheer injustice of theft and just cheating that so many black people were subjected to in our less enlightened days as a human race. I just could not believe how ignorant some people were. I mean, if the people were as ignorant as portrayed in those movies, I was like, wow. And you know, movies can do a great job like reflecting reality. Sometimes it exaggerates reality. But I sometimes thought to myself, based on the fact that I know that when you puncture the human body with in certain ways, when you hang a body, these kinds of things, that the reality of it is far worse than what is portrayed on in the movie sometimes. I think Private Ryan was the first time I ever got a sense of the horror of war, when you were able to see people's, you know, limbs being blown off and entrails coming out, those kinds of things. So movies can reflect realities in ways that we couldn't imagine, really. So I thought about this, and you know, people want you to get over it, right? And truly, we have to get over it in terms of we can't allow our passion not to be continuously fueled by memories of those atrocities to the extent that they cause us to harbor hatred and stuff like that in our hearts. But to know these things is to have a certain understanding of the depths to which us humans can go in our injustice to each other. The Bahamas did not see horrific vulgarities in our more racist period. He did not. But that period pre-majority rule, we didn't see the lynchings and those kinds of things, but the discrimination, the segregation, and stuff like that, the hoarding for a minority of the economic substance, that was all real for the Bahamas. And so those who, white and black Bahamians, who marshaled the call, organized around the effort to liberate the Bahamas from a period in which a minority white group dominated the politics of the country to their advantage, and who were eventually able to get the transformation. Don't forget, the transformation came. The surrender by the white minority of their stronghold on the political power. And majority rule was achieved. And so for us, majority rule means, this is what majority rule means in its historical context, that the people of the Bahamas are governed not by a grouping whose skin color represented the skin color of the minority population in the country, but now by a grouping whose skin color represented and represented the majority skin color of the country. In this context, that's what the rule means. Let's be clear. It is a racially historic achievement. Who's ruling? Not the white minority of people in the population. Who's ruling? The black majority of people in the population. That's what majority rule means in its historic context for us. That made me wonder, do white Bahamians celebrate majority rule? And I'm dead serious. I'm asking, how does a white Bahamian feel about majority rule? You think it's impossible for a white Bahamian to say, yeah, man, all that injustice and nonsense that was carrying on back then, I'm delighted that that has passed. I imagine so. Yeah, imagine that there are those who could very well hold those sentiments for sure. But it must be an awkward kind of feeling if you take on the sentiment of majority rule and what it means in its historical context to think, this is odd, you know? But this is our history. good, the bad, the ugly, it's where we came from, what we came through. And now, we do not have a minority of the population in terms of skin color who control the political power in the country. We have a group of people of black skin. All of our prime ministers have been black men. All of our deputy prime ministers, but one, have been black men. 90% of our cabinet have been black men and women. That's what we achieve. How has that changed us? How has that made us better off, worse off? But yeah. Listening to Z Live and Shabaga Lang, talk to me. Tell me what you think. Majority rule tomorrow. Are you celebrating? What are you celebrating tomorrow? So there's a majority rule in the country. You're listening to Z Live. Thanks. I'm your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
I ain't mash the car. The lady run into me mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the eve of Majority Rule Day in the Bahamas. Tomorrow is a public holiday in honor of the achievement of majority rule in the country. The achievement of our country not being governed by a group of people whose skin color represented the minority of people in the country and whose political governance of the country was not regarded as benefiting to the degree it should, the majority of people in the country, but benefiting themselves, governing in a way in discrimination, segregation was rife in the country, and so our national heroes mounted the effort to achieve a day in which the Bahamas are taken to the polls. We didn't do it with gunshot. We didn't do it by war. We didn't do it with machetes. where at the polls, we were able, in the first instance, by the slimmest of margins, to wrestle power from that minority white grouping and have a group of governors who reflected the skin color of the majority of the population. You have to understand that minority grouping, the minority white power structure, operated the governing system, even though the elections were being held. The way they operated it was to ensure that unless you had land, you couldn't vote. Women couldn't vote to begin with. So don't forget now. There were some white Bahamians who couldn't vote because they had no land. You know, then there were men and women who couldn't vote at one point. The black vote, you know, it was and if you had land in multiple places, you could vote in multiple places. There were lots of ways in which the system is to keep power in its hand. But in time, through great effort, that would be changed. And when that was changed, that day, January 10th, 1987, became known as majority rule. It wasn't a public holiday at first. Celebrated highly. Fat Assembly celebrated for many years. Can I speak the truth or should we try to color life? For many years, the Progressive Liberal Party was in office and was the instrumentality that essentially achieved majority rule. So don't let anybody try to deny that party that piece of history. And rightly so, with pride, they celebrated that achievement as a Progressive Liberal Party achievement, even though in the ultimate achievement of it, there had to be independents who came on like Sarandal and those and helped achieve that, Brennan and them. But in point of fact, you know, it became a kind of PLP achievement. And so for many years, that's how it was regarded, in a very partisan fashion. But there were men and women, men like Father Sebastian Campbell, Fred Mitchell, and many others, who for years thought that this achievement was so seminal in the country that it deserved a place beyond the partisan narrative of it, that it deserved to be a national holiday. And they fought for that. They agitated for it. They did work, they did meetings, they did the necessary until eventually, years and years and years later, it was declared under a Progressive Liberal Party administration to be a national holiday. And it still does not have the national fervor or the non-character that one might think it should have as a national holiday. There are some people who think it takes something away from independence. It's really independence that is more national in scope. It still conjures up the notion of the racial divide in the country. And so there are people who make those arguments. But those who fought for this to be a national holiday and who got it done, who were passionate about it, thought otherwise. So it is that tomorrow we get to take time off and celebrate this achievement of Majority Rule Day. I imagine that notwithstanding its grounding in history as a really racial issue in terms of men, that in the deeper, in a broader way, comes to sexualize democracy. In the essence of democracy, the majority should rule. Democracy. That's what it means. People rule, right? And in the democracy, generally speaking, the idea is the will of the majority should prevail. Now, that is a concept imperfect indeed, because sometimes masses get it wrong, majorities get it wrong. There was a time, remember, where a majority of people in America believed that slavery was a just and okay thing. In some parts of America, for years after people stopped believing that thing, many still believed that to be the case. And that was something that grounded and was a foundation revolutionary war in America, civil war. People believe in the South, and we have a right to own these people. Sometimes when I watch those movies and listen to the dialogue, Slave Master the Slave, I was like, man, you as a human being cannot be serious. And guess what? All the while quoting the Bible, all the while holding the Bible, all the while having the preachers preach to the slaves from the Bible, while they sat there and treated these black people like they were nothing but chattel. Animals like their ox, their pig, their cows. It was something to behold. This text says, great show as usual. We don't see white behemoths as white. The conky Joe, that's completely different. That done white. Yeah, you think so? Stay right there. So you ever hear a conky Joe talk or cuss? All white are not the same. Just as all black behemoths are not the same. Behemoths from Eleuthera and different parts of Eleuthera speak differently, black or white, and behemoths in Long Island and Bahamians and Grand Bahama, New Providence, and so forth and so forth, Andrus and so forth. We know Conky Joe, but we know them Conky Joe as white Bahamians, so that's not true. So yes, they celebrate Majority Rule Day. Yeah, you know it. They told you that. This text is a bit of a conundrum, Mr. Lang. The minority we are talking about are still prospering, and the majority is expanding, but poverty among them has not contracted. The minority are still leading themselves, while the majority are having something of a wild and worse experience. I don't know about that. I mean, there are many, many black Bahamians who are prospering. I keep telling you all before, you know, don't take their personal experience of most people, which is true in most countries. Most people in most countries are living average lives. In America, where white dominated before, and where slavery was ripe, lots and lots of white and black people live average lives. And there are a minority who are prospering enormously, and amongst them are some black people. Like, you know, like Oprah Winfrey, like a Tyler Perry, like a LeBron James, like a Michael Jordan, like a Denzel Washington, all kinds of them, right? So I don't know, but, and in the Bahamas, white people are, there are some white families who have prospered for decades, and there are lots of white families in the Bahamas, who, like the majority of white Bahamians, live average lives. Just like the majority of black Bahamians live average lives. Okay? So to be sure of that. Text says, numerically, didn't most whites benefit because of majority rule than not? If they believe in true democracy, shouldn't it be embraced conceptually? Ultimately, most stayed in the country and prospered. Well, I think ultimately most white Bahamians stayed in the country, but I don't believe that it is true that ultimately most prospered. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's true at all of most white Bahamians. I don't think that's so. Most white Bahamians live average lives, right? They're in the middle class, maybe some in the upper middle class, just like many Bahamians. many black babies I made. Right? I don't know. I only say this out of sentiment, that I'm sure there are white Bahamians who celebrate majority rule, but I don't know what that community of Bahamians, generally speaking, do and feel about majority rule. To be honest with you, we don't really celebrate these holidays ourselves, you know. We just like them because we don't work. We don't have to work. We go and we travel and so forth and so forth. But for us to celebrate, can we really honestly say we celebrate them? Really? I've been alive for 56 years. Whit Monday has come and gone to Bahamas, and I can't tell you they ain't even celebrate that. Most Bahamians don't even know what it is. Emancipation Day? I know we take it off, do all kinds of things, but I can't say we celebrating Emancipation Day. Right? So I'm not going to put white Bahamians in some peculiarly different category. But I do know that it could be an awkwardness. In light of history. You're listening to Z Live and Chivago Line, your host. We're going to pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick. Topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce, served on a soft potato, the Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink. Or cool it down with the new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Nassau Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruiseport Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruiseport. The place to be.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the day before Majority Rule Day. Don't forget, Nassau Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs live at the Amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi Ellis, and Ira Store and the Spike Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music, sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admission $50, VIP $75. Skypods are also available. Get your tickets now at BahamasTickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at Nassau Cruiseport on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it. If you want to give us a call, folks, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 4296 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Tomorrow, the country celebrates, designates as a holiday, Majority Rule Day. me, January 10th, 1967, following upon an election in which there was resounding enough vote by the majority of black people for the Progressive Liberal Party and the change government, we achieved what we then recorded as majority rule, where for the first time a government of the Bahamas made up of men whose skin color was black, reflecting the skin color of 80%+ of the Bahamian population. First time took the reins of power in the country, and I've never let it go since. Since 1967, every government, every administration, every governing administration of the Bahamas has been predominantly black men, not even black women, black men. And Sabu say, you could go 100, 300 years, you may not see different in the Bahamas. Prince, as those black majority men, women, made a difference to the governance of the people. When you all talk about the Bahamas, some of you, it's a failed state. You're on backward, we ain't doing nothing. Look at this country, it's in a mess. Are you suggesting that those majority black men and women over these 50 plus years, but they took the reign of power, and one, if the country was in a mess under them, other people was in a mess under them. The country is better off under those other people. It's worse off under these people. Is that the suggestion? That these majority black men and women, they really messed the country up. Maybe are you suggesting we should take out the folk? I'm talking some of these folks whose descriptions of Bahamas, of the politicians in the Bahamas, of how they messed up the country. I could read some in the Post right now. You're not alone. I was reading something posted in a chat where predominantly Caribbean people are in Canada, and they wasn't talking nicely about no Caribbean country or politician. It was not kind of talk. This text says, Mr. Lang, regard this country's out of control murder problem. I think if we are to put our best foot forward, we must use our best in trying to address this problem. The government must engage the talented former Deputy Commissioner of Police, Marvin Dames, as minister or even as consultant. Before Minister Dames' departure, he and the former Police Commissioner, Paul Rowe, were well on their way to addressing the issue. It was those two who introduced all technology that is still currently being heavily used and depended on to fight crime. After every murder in the country, we hear the word shot spotter. Did this and that for us police. In our crime fight, this current national security crew continue to use and depend on to fight crime and has introduced nothing new. The ankle monitoring bracelet, among others. In my view, this new crew, led by Wayne Monroe and Police Commissioner Fernando, have been, in my view, lazy and have introduced nothing new of significance in the way of fighting crime, despite the country exceeding 100 murders every year since coming to office. Marvin Deans and the former Police Commissioner Paul Roll, in year 2018, even before the pandemic hit us in 2019, under lockdowns in the country, was under 100 murders before 2018 after government. With this current coup in play, we regard as jokey crime consultants, I believe if we act too late, we are headed to hell in a handbag. We must make a change now, says that texter. Promised to read a text that I didn't get to read yesterday, too, if I could find it. Says, one thing that is certain is that the criminals are, no, I read that one up. So we are spending millions on internet / Facebook surveillance. What are the results? Are we getting value for money? I love your thinking. I hope we can challenge the verbiage and speechifying that we will hear from secular and spiritual leaders. We need to have discernment to listen for the implementable plans with measurable goals rather than the PR and political profiling from all areas that we are keeping. Well, I think, I'm asking the question for in the first instance about the extent to which you think majority rule has made a difference. Difficult question for some to answer, because if you are too young, you couldn't really answer that question without some good deep research. If you have lived under both periods, maybe you could tell us. You know, I always, this is how, sometimes when you listen to people, you kind of, they're genuine about their answers, right? Because, I mean, we all have our preferences and biases, right? So, you know, if you F&M, you might feel away. If you PLT, you might feel away. If you DNA, you might feel away. If you're Catholic, you might feel away. If you're Anglican, you might feel away. If you're Baptist, you might feel away. If you're a woman, you might feel away. If you're a man, you might feel away. If you're married, you might feel one way. If you might feel away. So sometimes you don't know, but this is one of the things I like to do to people. And then again, I still don't know if they can get an honest answer. I always say, well, let me ask you a question. If you think you're worse off now, would you trade living now for living in that period that you think it was better? Would you trade it? Would you really? If you had a chance? Would you go back? Would you go back and live under the standards of pre-1967 January 10th? Would you live in that Bahamas? Y'all all the Bahamians. My mommy, my daddy, people age and older. Y'all would go back? Would you go back? I think if you ask them, now I heard a guy come on this show and talk about it was better then. One time, one guy. Somebody say, hell no. Would you go back? Who would go back? Text me somebody and say, I'd go back. I'd go pre-January 10, 1967 bombers and live there. I'd live in pre-January 10, 1967 bombers. Because when you want to show me you really serious about a period of time you think was better, you tell me, yeah, I'd live there in a hurry. In a heartbeat, bro. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody.
welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the day before majority rule day in the country. If you want to give us a call, call me on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. If you're in the Family Islands, you can toll free us, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you could WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This texter says, good afternoon, sir. Very good show as usual. I listened as you read the text from the sender who described Mr. Deans and the former commissioner of police. Had crime trending down, sir. In my opinion, no organization was able to garner the results we need to say crime trending down. So we heard the present commissioner of police said there is a 16-year-old on bail for 4 murders. 2 years ago, that young man was 14, whatever Ms. Thames' crime plan was, it missed that young man and many more. In my opinion, the main reason for the amount of murders is not being let out on bail, it's before the crime is committed. We need to find out what these young men thinking to lead them to commit murder. Normal people will think of 100 reasons why not to commit murder. Why are these young people not thinking that is the first step? That's interesting. That's interesting. And I agree with you with some of the stuff you just said, but I don't think you are right about the crime not trending down. That's not true. It was trending down. See, if something is going down or up, it's not a question of your opinion or my opinion. We just look at the numbers, right? I mean, it is like, this is really basic math. If the numbers are going down, it's trending down. That's just reality. If it's going up, it's trending up. So you can't say it wasn't trending down. The fact is, compared to 2018, crime was down 2019 in terms of murder and a number of other categories. So you can't say, you don't have to agree that it was Deans or Commissioner role, but you can't, or Fernanda, I don't get the luxury of ignoring the numbers. We don't do that. And you can't say, because this young man was a part of the crime, it wasn't trending down. That's an awful statistical analysis, my friend. Right? You have to be able to take objective information and treat it with objectivity. It, just because you don't like it, don't make no difference. Like, the sun is very hot. My not liking that doesn't change the fact that it's very hot. Like says, the problem with too many young people is that they don't know our history, so equate their struggle with, example, Trenchtown or Compton. Yeah. They be listening to some of that music. And in terms of their narrative, in terms of the story they tell themselves, they connect. They relate. Tomorrow's the majority rule day. That's what tomorrow's the majority rule day. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, caller, go ahead. Yes, caller. Yeah, we're listening to you, sir. Ma'am. Hello? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on there. They're struggling to get through. Tomorrow's... Hello? Producer, help me out because they are coming up. Yes, hi, go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you well now. Go ahead.
Am I on the show line?
Yes, sir, you are very much on.
Oh, I can barely hear you, sir. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening on your end, because I can hear you very well.
It's a little bit better now. But good day to you, Mr. Lang. Hope all is well with you, sir.
Yeah,
Mr. Lang, you were talking about well, just now you mentioned the slavery and how you were saying, watching some films, the level of inhumanity and stuff like that, with the films, right? But
yes.
I didn't hear you, sir.
No, I said yes, that's true.
Yes, sir, but the interesting thing about it is that, like, what you're witnessing is you're not witnessing, like, a few lawbreakers, you know, you're witnessing, like, an actual system, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about it is that the very God that these people serve, or the religion that they were under, is the same one that they taught us. And I mean, and we feel as if these individuals who had such lack of humanity were able to teach us how to view God. I mean, I just found it to be interesting. You know, we learn from them. But the thing I really got to talk about, Mr. Lang, was the majority rule thing you were talking about. What I find interesting, Mr. Lang, is that there is no real accomplishment, or should I say, is no accomplishment at all for a majority demographic people to remain in power. That should have been like a foregone conclusion once the majority came into power that we would never vote in a majority white government again. I mean, so it's no real accomplishment to say we're still in power, you know, to me, in my personal opinion.
And who said it was?
You, I mean, it's one of the things that you were mentioning when you were talking about.
No, but that's only because, see, this is, you mentioned that white people who was enslavers can't teach us about God and what have you, right? But the reason, that's why we have to be careful how we listen. I wasn't celebrating as an achievement that fact. I was stating the fact of history. We have never gone back. That's all I said. Is that not true?
Yes, but my bad. I apologize, Mr. Lang, for taking it for more than I thought it was.
Yeah. That wasn't. It wasn't for me. I agree with you 100%. It was. There's no achievement in that. I was just stating it as a fact.
Yes, sir. Yes, I apologize for taking it for more than it was, sir. But
yeah,
But you know, and when it comes to majority rule, Mr. Lang, like when you think about it, like, the question could be asked: Does the majority really rule? You know, I mean, like, is it our interests, and is it our direction that the country is headed in? Like, do we put does the majority put the input, the government, that the government listens to, and it is that initiative that the government is following? Because if it is not, then the majority is not really ruling, other than when it comes to election day, when we go and cast our vote.
Well, that's a good question. So let's look at it on the facts of some things. Let's take We don't have licensing of cars on one day in the year anymore. Is that true?
No, sir. We don't have it on one day anymore. No, sir.
We license it all year round, right?
Yes, sir.
You think the majority of Bahamians agree with that?
I mean, Mr. Lang, I mean
No.
I feel as if the majority of Bahamians would agree with that, yes, sir.
Okay. When we have an election in the country, once the majority of people vote for a party, that party wins, right?
Yes, sir.
And takes over government according to the Constitution, right?
Yes,
do you think the majority of Bahamians agree with that?
Yes, sir. The majority of the individuals that casted their vote agree. Yes, sir.
Yes. So I was just pointing to two things that reflect that in terms of something we do in the country, the majority agree with it. Now, let me give you an example of one where the majority did not have its way. Did not the majority of people say they didn't want to legalize gambling in the country? Who went and voted?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But that didn't...
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay, so I'm just showing you it's a mixed bag sometimes.
Yes, sir. But I'm talking about, like, year to year. day to day.
But I could give you yet a year day to day.
No, Ms. Lang. I mean, but let me explain to you so you don't misunderstand me like I misunderstood you in the beginning. You know, when you're talking about the accomplishment thing. See, what I'm saying every day and yet a year, I'm talking about when the government, when they go inside the house and they sit down to talk about bills and legislation and stuff like that, right? And from year to year, like the direction that the country is heading in, like, you know, from year to year, from government to government, the policies that they're making, et cetera, et cetera. Over the past years, has it been the will of the people? Like, has it been what the people have given them to do, or have they been taking their own direction from somewhere else? You know, because, like, because remember, are we sticking to the majority rule topic?
Not from somewhere else. You need to have a full understanding of representative government.
Yes,
so here's what we agree. We agree that masses of people cannot practically govern themselves.
Understand?
We can't gather 200,000 people together and say, listen, bro, what y'all think? What do you think we should do? 200,000 people in one place. What do y'all think we should do? Everybody raise your hand. So we can't do that. So what we've agreed as democracies is we are going to select from among our population groups of people to represent us. You know what that representation means?
Yes, Mr. Lang, we understand the process. No. I mean, like, we understand
No. You cannot tell me what you just told me and understand that, my friend.
All right, Mr. Lang, I understand. I think they call it bureaucracy, right?
No. It's not bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is entirely something else. Bureaucracy is the group of people that actually execute government policy. So that's the civil servants.
I thought bureaucracy was like something like departmentalization. Mr. Lang, the point I'm making is this, Mr. Lang. I'm talking about the laws that are passed, Mr. Lang. You know, because remember now, the initial point I made to you is that if the will of the majority is not what the government is.
But why are you assuming? I didn't hear you. See this. Let me tell you while I interrupt you, because time is precious on the show. So I don't want you to repeat something we already heard you say. And what I'm saying to you is, you cannot tell me. See, when they went in the House of Assembly, passed a law that says you can't murder, you can't rape, you can't steal. You think the majority of people agree with that?
Mr. Lang, you're talking about things, right? You're talking about the basic foundational things that you find in every country, right?
No. You don't get the privilege of doing that, bro. You don't get the privilege of suggesting because a politician goes and passes a law that says thou shalt not murder, and that's basic. That means that should be discounted. If you don't do the basic, how do you do the rest?
Mr. Lang, let me
ask you a question. Okay, let me get beyond basic. Do you like the fact that your dollar is on par with the U.S. dollar?
I guess so. That's circumstances.
That's a law that was passed by your country. Let me ask you another question. Do you like the fact that you could go in the United States of America, buy whatever you want, and bring it back in the Bahamas?
Mr. Lang. What is self-determination?
But I have to go, my friend. I have to go. Thank you. I have to go. Sorry. See, y'all want your cake and eat it too, man. But you're talking to me, though. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Right? I agree with you that there are things that Bahamians may want to have an input on that they may not get to put on the way they want. But the fact of the matter is we live in a representative democracy. Once you elect those people, they are your representative. They are delegated with authority to go and govern on your behalf. The Constitution doesn't say you got to go back to them and you and ask they want to do something. That's nonsense. So you don't get to call the show and try to construct life the way you want it on one hand and then ignore the realities of things on the other hand. Don't work like that. This text says the government say they are serious about fighting crime, but appoint arguably one of the top defense attorneys in the country as Minister of National Security. I'm certain that he is very aware that he will not hold that post indefinitely. Do we really expect him to introduce legislation or support aggressive
policy changes that would negatively impact his business. Please make it make sense. Actually, I don't agree with you at all on that. I don't agree with you at all on that for two reasons. First of all, he does not make the laws. He does not by himself. He does not make the laws by himself. He does not. He's a part of a cabinet in a government. And no law passed in the government that hasn't passed through the cabinet. Okay, so, and secondly, William Monroe, when you listen in many, many instances to him and the policies that they are pursuing, I think you would agree with the policies that he articulates. So I don't think that they are the government's policies. They are not William Monroe's policy. So I don't have I disagreed with some things William Monroe, Minister of National Security, has said, but I think overall his posture in terms of approaching his job is not one that says, "Oh, I'm a former criminal, therefore I ain't gonna do nothing to help." I don't agree with that at all. I don't support that at all. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. You're listening to the radio. You need to listen to the phone. Okay, producer. Come on, the gift, say count to 10. I said, I know this voice. You mean the person who was calling? Damn, you guys are there in the conversation, guys. It wasn't getting nowhere. Mind you, he makes sensible observations. So I'm not, just to agree on, you know, the kind of narrative, because, you know, you cannot have a mass of people govern you. That's just not practical. And we always say, oh, the will of the people. Who's the people? I might agree one thing. You agree a different something. Who gets to speak for all the people of the Bahamas? Unless you take a referendum, unless you do a plebiscite, and you only the government, having been elected by the people, could speak for the people's behalf and act on their behalf. It's called a delegated responsibility. That's like if you send your lawyer to negotiate on your behalf. The lawyer don't come every time the people ask him to make a decision. The lawyer doesn't have to come to you and say, listen, what you think I should do? A man has been delegated, a woman has been delegated to negotiate on your behalf. That's what delegation means. That's what representation means. That somehow the MP is going, listen, before we pass this, what should I do? You all have, if you have that notion in your head, you do not understand representative democracy. That's reality. You don't understand it. And it ain't work. Do you ever wonder why it doesn't work that way? In most places in the world, it doesn't work that way because that's not the way it's supposed to work. Right? Governments take occasions in meetings and forums and pollings and stuff to try to get a sense of things. But they don't have or can just keep coming back to you and saying, you're not going to pass a law for the central bank to amend Section 23 of the Central Bank Act. What you think I should do? First of all, you got to have read the act. You have to be familiar with the issue. The vast majority of Bahamians are busy trying to get their children fed, clothed, sheltered, and educated. So, like, you may have time to be tearing through hundreds and hundreds of pieces of legislation. It's not going to happen. That's just impractical. Right? Anyway, tomorrow is the majority rule day. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs live at the amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi Ellis, and Ira Store and the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music, sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admission, $50. VIP, $75. SkyPods are also available. Get your tickets now at BahamasTickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at the Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it.
But, you know, that ain't a bad price at all for that concert, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take continue our discussions really back after this break.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on 6.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-50. You can text us 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. It is something that as we get ready to commemorate majority rule, maybe that's a better word, rather than celebrate. Maybe really what it is commemoration, that we remind ourselves of this achievement. So, you know, and everything you remind yourself of, you may not necessarily celebrate, but you do remind yourself that there was a time when life was not quite this way. You think that's important? To remind ourselves every year that there was a time when our governance was by the minority colored skin people in the country. I think that's important. And if it's important, why? Why? If we didn't do that, if we didn't commemorate that every year, what would happen? How would we be different? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello? Go ahead, caller.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm right here, myself.
I was just listening to your comment with the other gentleman. Mr. Lang, can I ask you a question, man to man? No disrespect or anything. Would you say that you're a short-pacing person?
You could ask me questions about the topic we're talking about.
Yeah, but your topic is changing from different things.
No. I would just ask you,
are you a shorter person? Because many people ask me that.
Okay.
You know, because people try to talk with you, but the team is just...
Producer, please. The other day, Sparky called the show. You all want me to replay the show? I let Sparky talk for as long as he wanted. He ran on, but everyone to run on it. I'm not the topic of the show. If you cannot discuss the show or what we're talking about, Sparky, don't call back here. I promise you, if you call back, I will tell the producer I'm not going to hear from Sparky. if you want to talk about me, because I don't want to talk about you. I want us to talk about the issues that we are talking about. Okay? Tomorrow's majority rule. Hey. Right? And the gentleman called a minute ago, we spoke for the longest time. He wants to make the same point over and repeatedly. What do you want me to do? Waste time like I won't waste time with you on top of me and asking me questions. I'm a shorter patient person. I am very short of patient. Foolishness. But wasting time, I am. But I let you, the other day you run, man, you talk to your heart's delight. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between the celebration or commemoration of independence versus the session of majority rule day? What's the difference? How are those two different? Why do you see it? See, this text is sparky as I wouldn't even use the word. Let me tell you something. Anyway, what's the difference between majority rule day commemoration and independence day commemoration? Is there a difference, do you think? Do you know? And should the two be, well, we don't have to ask about whether the two should be celebrated anymore. The fact of the matter, they're both holidays, right? And there are folks who, listen to me, you cannot have a conversation with Father Sebastian Campbell about majority rule and not get a sense of the significance and that day means for the country. He's very passionate about that. He has been for many others, for a very long time. And, you know, and Sebastian Campbell, Father Sebastian Campbell to me, you know, is a very down-to-earth, grounded person. You know what I mean? He don't get caught up in the overly political. He just a solid, in my interactions with him, solid person. So you speak to him about this issue. He continues to even lament the fact that we don't still give the level of credence to it as he thinks ought to give him. Say, thanks for banning him. Hope other hosts do the same. I actually think that has happened before. But, you know, you got to be, you know, sometimes you get gracious, allow people to come back. And yes. So that's a great question. I don't know. Are they the same, just different time frames? Are they? Is majority rule and independence the same thing? Really? You think so? The text says, Mr. Lang, is not majority rule a practice of segregation in the Bahamas? It's a practice of segregation? What do you mean? What do you mean that majority rule is a practice? Like, you mean the actual celebration, commemoration of majority rule day, a practice of segregation? Tell me what you mean by that. So one person saying that there is no real difference between majority rule and independence, saving and apart from the two different dates. This individual was making a point that majority rule, is it not a practice? This text says, why shouldn't majority rule day be celebrated instead of merely, do we think we would be as far along as we are without majority rule? Is that to be celebrated? That's a great question. That's a great question. That's what I'm asking. I was saying commemoration may be a better word because maybe that's what we do. We commemorate it, not celebrate it. But I think you raise a great point. Should it not be celebrated with God being hard to what change, difference it made? But that's what I asked, remember? And I asked what difference it made, and I ain't nobody said nobody said anything but what the difference was that was made. This text says, Happy New Year. Hope you had a joyous holiday season. So I've only heard the first portion of the show, so forgive me if I'm a bit off topic. I want to pose a question that has come from my experience. I currently work for one of the largest companies in the Bahamas, but I have also worked as an entrepreneur. My question is, do you think it's fair to say new minority rule problem? Only in these days, the minority are the elite versus the regular Joes? I say that because the big company that I work for is privileged to opportunities that I was not privy to when I was an independent entrepreneur. How do we even the playing field? Is this the new minority rule? This is where the foyer discussion comes into play because only a few seem to get certain opportunities. Wow. Now, that's a question. Okay, so let's look at the structure of minority rule. So the minority controlled the political power, and they did it by systematically excluding the majority that could, in fact, use the vote to get rid of them. They also use that political power to enrich themselves, give themselves advantages. So you're saying there's a new minority, and you're saying it could be an elite group of people who are using the political system systematically to ostracize the majority. Now, let me ask you a question. Are the majority of Bahamian entrepreneurs like you were? Or in being an entrepreneur, were you not just a smaller entrepreneur than the big entrepreneur for whom you work? Because if you think the entrepreneur that's in your big company is the elite, so you have a business because most Bahamians have no business. Most Bahamians are not business owners. So you were, in fact, among the elite, if that's the argument you are making. So you would have to count yourself as among those who were using the system to the exclusion of a majority, which would have to be a majority. Or I'm saying the community of entrepreneurs, there is an elite group that uses the system to the exclusion of the majority of the entrepreneurial community. You'll have to straighten that out so we could go there. Can we be independent without majority rule? Yes. Yes. Answer is yes, we could have been. The British could have given the Bahamas independence when white Bahamians ran the Bahamas. That was just possible. That was entirely possible. Now, the question is, would they have pursued it? No, we can't say. We can't say what would have happened, because what has happened has happened. But it was possible. Was not South Africa independent under apartheid? No? Yeah, South Africa is independent. Good day, Shivago. Great show as usual. Thanks for putting Sparky in his place as he wastes too much time running on with nonsense rather than embracing the knowledge you're giving. I believe independence is out independence from British. Independence from British. A majority rule is when black Bahamians, majority privileges from minority white Bahamians. That's exactly the difference. That's exactly the difference. The difference was you achieved freedom from the control of another power, territorial power, in so-called Great Britain when you achieve independence. So your independence was, I no longer have to look to Great Britain to tell me what to do in terms of my external policies or my internal policies. That's independence. in terms of majority rule, I no longer have a group of people from my own, these were Bahamians, these were my people, whose skin color was white and mine black, and who were a minority of our population. They were our brothers and sisters. I no longer have them running things because they never allowed me in the majority to vote. Even if I wanted, I would vote them in. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so both are very significant. And I have no difficulty with majority rule as a holiday. Now, mind you, the Bahamas have too many holidays, that's for real. Well, what do I mean by too many holidays? We have a lot of holidays. I cannot say too many, because what is too many? We have a lot of holidays, right? So majority rule is certainly significant. Independence, certainly significant. So let me ask you a question. Was it independence that changed us for the better, or was it majority rule? Was it our break from Great Britain that made the most difference for national development? Or our break from a minority white dominated covenant? That's an interesting question. Tune to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
Nassau Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruiseport Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasEtickets.com.
General admission $50, 75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists.
You're raking and scraping with Ira Storr, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruiseport, the place to be.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loan today. Call us at 356-7764.
Wow.
welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the day before majority rule holiday. So we'll have no show tomorrow, right? We'll all be celebrating the holiday. If in these last minutes of the show you want to call, you can call on 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text me on 422. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This Texas blessed day. Yeah, Sparky. Oh, man, I'm not going to say that. all right. Say, I think independence, because without independence, there would be no majority rule day. How do you figure that? The majority rule came before independence. Said, so the majority rule put the black people in a better position. I changed my answer, majority rule, because after we got independence, we were still socially ostracized. Okay. That's a good, which one of them was more impactful? I know the easy answer is to say, well, both were impactful. We needed both. We needed both. So, like, let's imagine if we continued to have a white government, how would we have evolved as a people? What do you think? You think we might have still been like Bermuda? And how are they exactly? Would we have still been like Texan Caicos? And how are they exactly? Would we still have been like Cayman Islands? And how are they exactly? Would we still have been like BVI? And how are they exactly? Are they socially suffering in the BVI, Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Texan Caicos? Are they economically terribly off? I saw the other day somebody had, Turks and Caicos, a government had $500 billion or something like that in the bank. Or $1 million or something like that in the bank. Like, so they're not independent. They're not independent from Britain. Are they terribly off because of it? Now, they have black governance in their dependent states, many of them. So, you know, that'd be a conversation. Oh my gosh, that'd be a conversation to have with those who were in the halls of power, pre-majority rule, and just ask them, what were your thoughts about the Bahamas and its development and its evolution? What did you think would happen? What were the plans? Man, can you imagine that? Like, in most instances like that, the best you could do is like kind of take the current trajectory, the trajectory that existed at the time, and move it forward. It's like, I don't know, when you're doing a graph and you track how one dependent variable moves in relation to an independent variable, to a point when you no longer, like once you reach your current period, like the year 2024, what you can do is the graph can actually, they have an algorithm that can actually forecast into the future for you, where, based on past trends, where things are likely to go. Well, if you then look at past trends in that grouping, you would have to say discrimination would have still prevailed. Substandard education for the masses of the people would have still prevailed. Family island development would have been on the back burner. You know, so the trajectory would not have looked favorable, not on the basis of past trends. Right? So there's not a lot of reason to believe that the Bahamas would have been better off under that regime, right? Now, we then got rid of minority rule and majority rule, and then we achieved independence. Now, if you ask, okay, given the British and what the British were doing, you use their past performance to project forward, what would have happened to the Bahamas?
Well, I would say basically the same thing that happened under the white minority group, because they were the ones who were cozying up with them.
So getting rid of all of them was good for the Bahamas. It was good for the Bahamas to have gotten rid of all them, based on the fact that those who identified more closely with you used that identification to work more favorably for you. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But did they achieve much for us? Absolutely did. Absolutely did. So that conversation would get left, and it would be awkward for the white people. Black people would not be able to thrive. You think so? Anyways, I hope that you enjoy your holiday break again. You just had one the other day, but enjoy the break and reflect on freedoms we have, where we've come from. It's useful to do so. It's useful to do so, to know how to be able to be grateful. It's useful to know where you come from. It's very useful. We can take a lot for granted. And not because we're trying to be disrespectful or we're trying to be ungrateful. Because, you know, children enjoy life as is. They don't go, you know, when we go and say, oh, but back in the day, I couldn't do that. That's fine. You understand? It's good to be able to where you came from. I think because of that reflection, you could ask people who have participated on the front lines of that, say, to ignore that it might have been their party, might have been their parent, might have been their person heavily involved with it. That kind of pride just comes with an association with something big and achieving, right? But reflecting on it is important nonetheless. When I reflect on things like majority rule, slavery, stuff, it makes me aware of two profound things. One is that human beings can be deeply disturbing in their thought patterns and behavior. Deeply disturbing. But two, profoundly noble, profoundly heroic, also in their thoughts and behavior. And that is the irony and complexity of the human person, given free will by God, that we can orchestrate awful atrocities against each other and against nature. But we can also mount great, wonderful achievement for each other and for that same nature. And it is always our choice which one it is. Always our choice which one we will do. Circumstances certainly can bend that choice, can make that choice more disposed to one way or the other. Circumstances can do that for sure. We get to choose which shall it be. Shall I be a hater of a man because of the color of his skin?
Or should I regard the man because of the content of his character? Should I look upon a woman because of her femaleness and her physical attributes not as, in most instances, powerful as mine? Or shall I see her as another one of God's wonderfully crafted creation, having to be regarded and respected? It's always our choice. This text says, they both have their places. Majority Rule was more impactful, as I still remember riding up and down Blue Hill Road rejoicing as a teenager. Independence was more of an event that naturally followed, but invoked a different sense of pride in actually becoming independent, although not sure that actually appreciate what it means to be independent, independent, responsibility, etc. Thank you very much. It's 77, so I have no clue how it was before independence. Stay safe. Yeah, y'all stay safe out there, man. Somebody asked me in respect of crime, what can we do? You got to be your own Minister of National Security first. Be your own Minister of National Security. And develop policies for your and your family's national security that tend to, rather than not. Did anybody make you perfectly safe? I don't think so. But you be your own Minister of National Security. That's the bottom line. Be in as much control of your circumstances, your environment as you can. Mind the money you keep. Mind the places you be. Mind the things you do, etc. Right? We all have made bad choices, difficult choices, consequential choices. But to the extent that we are able to amend our ways, you do the things that tend toward making you safer. I used to tell my sons, I said, if you're going somewhere and you see a group of men, young men in particular, with loud music, lots of liquor, and stuff going on, and they rebel rousing, if you are approaching them, you go in the other direction, because the odds of something happening is greater with you going in that direction than with you going in the opposite direction. Something can happen if you go in the opposite direction, but the odds are greater if you go in that direction. So you got to be your own Minister of National Security. Then, government got to just do what it can do, and judgments about how comfortable it wants to make you and me as it does what it does. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad you could join us today. God bless you. Have a great holiday. And East Fair's Life. We'll talk to you after. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.